Okay, if you have your Bibles, if you'd open them to the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter.
24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Y'all's my church family. When I tear it up or rip it off my shirt, I've been other places and I've just took it off and laid it down. Amen. I tell you the truth. Granny, can you hear me? Amen. See my sound check. Hey, you think Brother Darren would let me get one of those things that come around like this or something? That I don't. I'll get you into a grin anyway before I start preaching. Gospel of Luke, 24th chapter, prayed much about the message and prayed much that the Lord would let me preach an encouraging message to the church tonight. Amen? I want to preach an encouraging message. I mean, it seems as though the messages that he's laid on my heart, you know, they're hard to preach. To your church family, but Bobby, they're hard to preach. You know, I said, Lord, please let me preach an encouraging message. And I believe that He's going to allow me to do that with His help. Amen. With His anointing. I'm going to try to encourage your heart through His Word. Amen. So in Luke chapter 24, I'll begin reading in verse 13. The Bible says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Most holy heavenly Father, we bow very humbly this evening. Lord, we come asking you to touch, Lord, that you'd fill us and anoint us, and that, Lord, that you'd just help me, God, that the thoughts that you've given me, this message you've given me, Lord, that I deliver it in a way that would be pleasing unto You. And God, that it encourage these people tonight. I know there's needs. There's many needs. Lord, there's prayer requests, spoken and unspoken. And I pray You'd be with each and every one. But Lord, tonight I pray that You'd minister through Your precious Word and Spirit to these folks that are here tonight. Lord, do that that only You can do. And we'll praise You and honor You. In Jesus' name I do humbly pray. Amen. I have tonight 9 points. 9 points. Brother Bobby, I had preacher's block on my 9th point. The Lord dealt with me for about 3 days regarding the end of the text. And I liken it unto writer's block, whatever that is. I'm not a writer, but I call it preacher's block because I'll get stuck and I'm searching for just the right word, you know, that God wants me to pin down to share with you. And so He gave me that as late as this afternoon when I got off work. And there's some events, the beginning of chapter 24, that set the stage where we picked up the reading of our text. The Bible says on the first day of the week, there's some ladies, and they've come to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. But something quite amazing happens when they arrive there. When they arrive there, they find that the stone is rolled away and the body of the Lord Jesus is not in there. And there's 2 angels there, and they tell those ladies there that He is not here, but He is risen. And those ladies, after being told that revelation from the angels, they make their way to where the 11 are gathered. And Peter, being the one who runs, and he sees it's just exactly as those ladies have been told. But the Bible says that there are some more with him. In verse 9 of chapter 24, the Bible says, "And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." And as it goes on in verse 11, the Bible says that their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And we pick up in verse 13, is where I took my text from. And I want you to see point number 1, a discussion. There was a discussion in verse 14. In verse 13, these 2 gentlemen are making their way from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. Emmaus, according if you do your translation of distances out from 80 furlongs into miles, it would have been somewhere roughly between 7 and 8 miles between Jerusalem and Emmaus, Emmaus being northwest of Jerusalem. And these 2 gentlemen would have been making their way towards this village, Emmaus. In verse 14, we see a discussion. And the discussion is, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened." And I begin to think, what do you reckon, as they walked and they talked together, that they were talking about? Now, me and Bobby had a conversation last night about being, you know, when we read the Word of God, it's alive, and it paints a picture for me, and it does he as well. And so when I try to preach, I want to present a picture to you so you can understand. And so I got a picture in my mind, and if I borrow your imagination, the Bible says as they're going on their way, that they're communing with one another, they're talking and reasoning with one another. And as they're talking about these things that happened. And I began to think, what do you reckon, Brother Bobby, they was talking about as they were walking along back to Emmaus, some 7 to 8 miles, and they began to talk to one another? Well, I thought that one might have looked at that one, Brother Ryan, and said, "You know, I thought he was the one. I thought he was the one that was going to redeem Israel." I mean, and the other said, "Yeah, you know, he never done nothing but good." And that one said, "Yeah, you know, he said, I was there in that house that time when nobody could even get in the door. And there was 4 fellers that had the faith to get in that one with palsy to Jesus, that they tore that roof off and let him down. And I seen Jesus heal them." Another said, "You know what? I was with him when he fed 5,000. And that was just men, not including women and children. And that other said, "You know what? I remember him opening the eyes of that one wide." And he said, "Well, that ain't nothing." He said, "You know what? I remember that woman crawling through that crowd and touching but the hem of his garment and her being made whole." Yeah. And that one said, yeah, but that ain't nothing. Said, I remember Mary and Martha, and I remember their brother Lazarus when he died. I remember when Jesus come on the scene, and Jesus called him out and rose him from the dead. And then they kind of dropped their heads. He said, yeah, but look what's happened. You know, there was that one named Judas. He betrayed him. And after he betrayed him, he went before the high priest. Then he went before Pilate. Well, he went to Herod and then back to Pilate. And everybody was hollering, crucify him. He hadn't done anything. And after they'd scourged him and plaited a crown of thorns and put on his head, and he went up to Calvary's cross and he died. And I thought he would have been the one. I thought he was the one. And that one looks at him and he says, yeah. Well, what about them women this morning? Now, those women said that they went out there and that stone was rolled away. And they even said they seen angels. And so this conversation ensues, this discussion between these two gentlemen on their way back to Emmaus. Well, after that discussion, along with that discussion, number two, in verse 17, the Bible says, Jesus has joined himself to him. He says, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So I see a discussion, number one. Number two, I see discouragement. So as they might have reflected about all these wonderful things that the Lord Jesus Christ did during his earthly ministry, they became discouraged. They become despondent and down and out, downtrodden, you know, like we do a lot of times down here on planet Earth. Amen? I'm telling it right. And so as they walk, their heads are looking down. They're discouraged. And Jesus draws them to them. And he asks them a question. Why are you sad? Why are you discouraged? I mean, what's going on here? Number three, look with me in verse 20. The Bible says, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified. But we trusted that it would be he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. So I've seen a discussion. And this discussion, they have discouragement. But number three, I see some doubting. I see some doubting. Jesus asked them, what things? And they tell them, I mean, they tell him what things exactly. But there's doubt in their voice. Let me say this. For a Christian, if Satan can get you to doubt in your salvation, okay, you will be consumed. It will consume you. You won't have nothing else on your mind. Am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Do I really got it? Do I got it? And he'll have you in neutral, or your wheels are spinning. He'll have you right where he wants you. The same thing he does to a lost person, he gets them to thinking they're saved. And they just go on about their business, all the while blind. That's how Satan deceives. Doubt is not something that helps us as Christians in our lives. Doubt's not a good thing for us. We all doubt. Surely we doubt. Amen? I mean, I feel like sometimes, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Amen? You increase my faith, Lord. It's just our human nature. These two fellers were discouraged and they were doubting. They were doubting what they had been told. Number four, look with me in verse 25 and 26. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I see number four, dullness. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ lovingly rebukes them here. He lovingly rebukes us. Aren't you glad tonight that when Shane Gunner is dull, that he just don't whoop me, that he lovingly rebukes me or lovingly chastises me for my own good, and he does you the same. I thought about that word dull. I thought about a knife. A knife, you know, a knife won't cut anything if it's dull. It won't cut nothing. I mean, it has to be sharp to cut. And I thought about the Word of God and the King James Version of the Bible. I said, the King James Version of the Bible. Now, I just get fired up over this. I'm being calm tonight, amen? Mark this down. But the King James Version of the Bible. Huh? The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what the Bible says. That King James Version of the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what you get when you get these other versions? The NIV, the NASB, the NKJV, the ESV. I mean, my goodness, you know what you get? You get something that's dull. That when it goes forth, it can't cut and penetrate to the heart like the Word of God is intended to do. Amen? And I thought about this too. If we become dull as Christians, what use are we? What good are we? What fit are we to evangelize to a lost and dying world? To our brothers and sisters in Christ? What good are we if we become dull? There'll be some preaching in here somewhere, I promise you. So I seen in their discussion, there was discouragement, doubting, and dullness. That's what was going on in their discussion. Listen, glory to God. In our discussions with one another, let's try to leave them three things out, can we? Especially when it pertains to the church and the things of God. Let's leave them three things out. There ain't no place for them three things. Let's leave those out. Amen. But it's getting better. I promise you it's getting better. Number five. Look with me in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, I see a turn. Things is turning here in this old walk right here. There is some doctrine that's declared. Some doctrine that's declared. And I begin to think. Now, the Bible says that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. All the scriptures. And beginning at the Moses and all the prophets, all the things concerning himself. Now, if that ain't some doctrine that's declared, I don't know what is. And I thought about this. What do you reckon was the scriptures that he expounded on concerning himself? I mean, well, I wrote some down. This is just a few of them that I think he might have used. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know what? I can come up here, I can study, and I can pray, and I can try to expound on the Word of God, and I won't scratch the surface, you guys. I won't. Listen to me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself expounding on the Scriptures concerning Himself. Thought about this one. I'm going to give you some. Y'all stay with me. Psalms 22. I got some Scripture in here. Psalms 22. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but Thou hearest not, and in the night season am not silent, but Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in Thee. They trusted, and Thou didst deliver them. They cried unto Thee, and were delivered. They trusted in Thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of all people. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He that trusted on the Lord, that He would deliver him, let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of my womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Maybe he used Psalms 22 right there. He says, boys, listen, I'm teaching you, I'm showing you. Maybe they had heard that cry, 1 and 7, where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What about this? Psalm 69. In verse 20, the Bible says, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity, but there was none. For some comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Maybe they had heard about that and taking that hyssop sponge and dipping that and putting it up there to him. Maybe they had heard about that. Amen? Huh? And he says, listen, boys, that was me right there. Listen, my heart was broken and I was full of heaviness. And I looked for some pity and I looked for some comfort, and they wasn't none. He found none. My. What about Isaiah? You could quote this, but I'm going to read it to you. What about this? Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hey, that's talking about the Lord Jesus, amen? My goodness. What about Isaiah 50 while we're in Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 50. Listen to this in verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I'm going to tell you something, church. You hear this little preacher right now. Anybody that wants to try and sugarcoat or water down what my Lord and Savior went through, you and I and the rest of the world, when He went to Calvary and died, I want to tell you something. My Bible says that He gave His back to the smiters, He gave His cheeks to them that plucked off the hair, and He didn't even hide His face from shame and smitten. Turn over to 53. We all know these verses. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Well, I'll say something. I ain't never seen him tonight. I ain't never seen him. Amen? But I'll tell you something. I desire to see him tonight. I'll say there's some beauty in the roses sharing and the lily of the valley that I want to see. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Listen to me, church. I don't know what people are going through tonight, but my Bible tells me that He was acquainted with grief. Everybody turned their back on Him. Even His Father, when He was hanging on that cross. Surely we have somebody in this world that we can turn to. I'd hope we could turn to one another. He was acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. It was our griefs he borne, and carried our sorrows. You know, is it any wonder the Word of God tells us to cast all our burdens on him? Huh? Because he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Did you notice in verse 5 it says, our? It was us! All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I mean, I'm just imagining here that, they're walking. The Lord Jesus joins himself to them. And he begins to expound the scriptures concerning himself. And he starts going through some of these. And as they're walking and they're listening, and he's telling them. What about this? Zechariah. And there are so many. This is just the ones the Lord laid on my heart. In Zechariah chapter 9. Listen to this. In verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout." Boy, that tears people up, don't it? Now, I do not have any stuff like this in my notes. I have no preconceived notion what I'm going to preach. I just preach it. God gives it to me. But the Lord said that right there. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout." That tears people up. That tears people down in front of somebody shouts. It really does. And I realize there's something way far yonder than a shout. But for the life of me, I cannot believe. Now tell me. Oh, goodness gracious. That when we get to heaven and we get to see our loved ones, and we get to see the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, that made eternal life possible with Him in heaven. Whoopee! Huh? You won't be around me, amen. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Maybe he said, "Boys, don't you remember when I come riding in and they were saying, 'Hosanna, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord,' huh? And they were shouting and they were laying palm branches down in the way, huh? They said, 'Don't you remember that?' They were shouting for me then. Don't you remember? That was me. That was me." Maybe. Chapter 13, verse 6. Listen to this. "And one shall say unto him, 'What are these wounds in thy hands?' Then he shall answer, 'Those with which I was wounded in the house hands.'" Whew. Anybody catch that? The Bible says, "And one shall say unto him, 'What are these wounds in thy hands?' Then he shall answer, 'Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.'" Betrayed, crucified by those who come to save. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Surely that happened. Surely that happened in the Bible. Huh? Brother Floyd, that happened in the Bible. They scattered. They all just fled and scattered. What about this in Malachi? Listen to this. In chapter 3, the Bible says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." And I thought about this. He's expounding, and maybe he said, "Boys, you remember that old crazy feller? He is loud and noisy. And he was out there at that river, and he began to baptize and began to preach. Huh? He was that one that said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' Huh? He was the one that said that he wasn't even latchet or worthy to untie his latchet of his sandals. You know that one?" He said, "That's me, boys. That's me. But their eyes, the Bible says their eyes were holding that they couldn't see. So maybe when he begins declaring his doctrine, something happens. Things start looking up. I want to tell you something. When the Word of God starts going forth, and it's preached and teached, amen, things start looking up. Number 6, look with me. Go back to our text in Luke. In verses 29-30. Look at this divine guest. The Bible says, "But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them." So, I seen a divine guest right here. A divine guest. Now, he acted like he was going to go further. And they constrained him to come in. And he comes in. And I began to think, if Jesus come home with me, and I know, don't hit me up, Jesus goes everywhere with us, but let's say in a bodily form, and Jesus comes into my house, you know what, I can stand here with all clear conscience and tell you there ain't nothing I'm going to have to hide. Miss Jada, he can go get on my computer. There's nothing he can search through that he's going to find that I'm ashamed of. Amen? Huh? He's not going to find a Bible, you know, with a quarter inch dust on it. He don't have to get in my vehicle and worry about me, have to worry about what I've got playing in the stereo, Brother Bobby. Huh? Tell you something. We are to treat him like a divine guest that he is. And I'm going to tell you something else. Let me tell you something else. Glory, hallelujah. This is his holy temple. This is his holy sanctuary. Now, I want to tell you something, church. It is time. It is time right now that we started coming in here and treating it like it is. Amen. Now I feel preaching coming on. Now please, Brother Jeff, don't take this wherever you're at offensive. When you clean your freezer out, I'd sure take all the coals of your deer meat because I like to eat it. Amen? But it's high time when we come into the house of God, yea, when we pull onto the property, that we have one thing on our minds, and that's worshiping a living, risen Savior. Amen. Not deer hunting, not fishing chain, not the world, not our jobs, not some athletic event, but worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because He's our divine guest, and we'll not have church without Him. My goodness. That just came out. Number 7, look with me in verse 31. I see a departure. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. Turn with me to the book of John here, just a few over, in chapter 6. Look with me in John chapter 6. Now, the Bible says that He blessed, He broke, and He blessed the bread. Okay? And their eyes were opened right after that. There's something about that bread. And I couldn't even scratch the surface right now. But if you want a good study, study that. Verse 31 says, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world.' Then said they unto Him, 'Lord, evermore give us this bread.'" That's what we need to say. Come Sunday morning, glory to God that somebody will come in here and say, "Lord, evermore give us the bread." "And Jesus said unto them, 'I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.'" Look with me about verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. See, there's something about when Jesus took that bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to him. Because he was the bread of life. And he gave it to him. And their eyes were open. And they knew him. And he vanished. Departure. Now, state this out. I thought, you reckon their head, their natural reaction was their head that went back down to the ground. Back to discouragement, you know, back to dullness. And I thought, no, that's not the way it was. We're going to read on here and see, that's not what happened. See, when their eyes were open, that departure, when he departed, there was some joy. Some joy that started bellowing up in there. I likened it unto this. Look with me in verses 32 through 34. I see some delight. After the departure, I don't see disappointment or discouragement. I see delight. Delight. Listen, delight is something that gives you great pleasure. That's what the word delight is. It's something that gives you great pleasure. And surely a lot of things, you know, in the world speaking, gives us a lot of pleasure. Well, there ain't nothing gives me no more pleasure than getting with the Lord. I mean, just getting as close to Him as I can. And I liken it unto, I call it a spell or a fit. That's just what I call it. Having me a good spell or a fit. That's delight for me. Verse 32 says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. So I see some delight. Now, I liken it unto this. This little illustration. Okay. You've got a volcano. And a volcano, it might start shooting a puff or smoke or two up. Then it might start spewing some ashes. But sooner or later, that volcano is going to erupt. Them fellers, when he vanished out of their sight, Bible says they looked at each other and they said, did our hearts not burn within one another? Well, I thought about this. It's been a few times. And I've been right here in this church, amen. My heart began to burn within me. And I knew what it was. It was the Holy Spirit, amen. It was the presence, amen, of God. And my heart began to well up and to burn within me. And it's just like a volcano. It had to erupt. I mean, it's got to come out. Huh? That's where the little fit of the little spell comes from. It's got to come out. I mean, if you can sit there and contain that, if your heart's burning within you, if you can contain that, I can't. I don't want to. Amen? I mean, it just wells up and it's got to come out. So I've seen some delight. Some delight. And the Bible says that they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, get this. Here they are. Here they are. They're walking to Emmaus. Now, I don't know at what point the Lord Jesus joined Himself to them and He began to expound on the Scriptures concerning Himself. And may I say, what a message that must have been. Huh? And so they're like this and they're walking probably very slowly. You know, when we're down and out, we tend to walk a little slower. And when He constrains them to come in there and He blesses the bread, breaks it, and He vanishes out of their sight. And then some delight. And then their hearts, you know, boy, I'm telling you, just wells up in them. And you know what? The Bible says that very same hour, they headed back to Jerusalem. So, 7 or 8 miles, whatever exactly that distance was, they headed back through there. But I believe with all my heart, for the Holy Ghost wouldn't give me liberty to say this, when they started back towards Jerusalem, buddy, there's a skip in their step. Huh? They wasn't walking the same way towards Emmaus as they was when they left after they had been with Jesus, amen. Can I say tonight, if you've been with Jesus, if you've been with Jesus, the Lord of Lords, if you've been with Him, your step ought to be a little bit different. Our step ought to be a little bit different, amen. So, I see some delight. And can I say this too? Listen. Boy, let me say this. And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. The Bible says that it was getting towards evening. That's what the Bible says. It was getting towards evening. Now, there is a reason and there is a cause for us to come together on Sunday evenings. A lot of churches, a lot of Baptist churches, they don't have Sunday evening services for whatever reason. Huh? I mean, it's almost like when we come in here and we sit down on Sunday morning for an hour or two and we've done our part and we've graced you with our presence, pat ourselves on the back and go home and, huh? Amen? Or we'll split services up. We'll have one so you can get up early and come in here and make yourself feel better. You don't have to worry about how you dress. Amen. I mean, don't preacher, you can wear whatever you want to wear. We'll have whatever kind of music or whatever is going on up there. We'll just do whatever. And then you can leave. And by 9:30, you're free to go. Huh? Tell you what. Well, I just ain't wired up that way. I believe there's a reason and there's a cause to come back on Sunday evening. And I believe right here is one. Because the Bible says, number 9, my last point, the disciples dazzled. That's the word that I was searching for that had preachers bought. Dazzled. They dazzled. That's going to dazzle them. Dazzle means to impress deeply, to overpower or confound with brilliance. And I know why the Lord gave me this. Because listen. The Bible says, verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Yeah, I thought about that word dazzle and brilliance. And so here's these fellers. They come back to the 11 and there them 11 sit, scared to death. They're going to get killed too, you know. And here comes these two. And they're like, boys, you won't believe what's happened. I mean, they are excited and on fire. You will not believe. We've seen him. Them women was telling the truth. And they are just excited. And boom, right then, guess what happened? They're dazzled. With what? With him, with his brilliance. Certainly, we could say tonight that the brilliance of a glorified, risen Savior would be overpowering. As a matter of fact, I don't believe Shane Gunner in his fleshly body could stand it. That's why I'm going to get a glorified body likened unto his. Amen. So I see some disciples are dazzled. Jesus appears to them. Started out as discouraged. Jesus joined himself to them. He departed. But guess what? When I left right here, he showed right back up. Amen. He had never left him. What began with a discussion full of discouragement, doubting, and dullness between two men walking homeward because of a divine guest who expounded the doctrine before his departure brought nothing but pure delight to their hearts. Amen. All right. Now I'm going to close. The eyes of their hearts had to be opened by the risen Savior himself. What was he doing? He was opening their blindness to the Word of God. He expounded on the Scriptures. That's how their eyes were opened. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is how folks with blinded hearts, that's how they'll be opened up to see the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Word. These men had evidence. Listen, they had an open tomb with a stone rolled away. They had angels. They had witnesses. They had them women. They had Scriptures. And now, guess what, church? Best of all, they had their own personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It ain't no wonder they're excited. Now, should we too not be excited to share a risen, living Savior as well? Amen? Now, it's going to get a little tough. Hold on. Probably, I promise you, I'll finish good. Lord will, and help me, Lord. What a difference our church services would be if everybody came to tell about the living, risen Savior. Now, when I wrote that down, I said, Lord, they're not going to understand that. They're not. Here's what God gave me, how to explain this little statement. If everybody come in that's saved, okay, born again, blood bought, amen? And they come in. And they come in wanting to tell. Just wanting to say something. Just something. About a risen, living Savior that they've had a personal one-on-one encounter with and now have a personal one-on-one relationship with. You think what kind of church services we'd have. You know why? Because Jesus would be uplifted. He'd be the one getting all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. We'd have church. If faith churches around us that's dying, or they're dead, you know, God's done wrote Ichabod all over them. You say, I don't believe that, church. I wish that I could load you up and take you 3 years back to, from when I started preaching until right here tonight, just take you with me to some of them, then you'd be amening me. But if there's churches that are dying or dead, maybe, just maybe, they're not actually walking, listening to the risen, living Savior. Did you catch that? There's a lot that aren't really walking and listening to the risen, living Savior. The Bible says, have a power of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. My, my. Hebrews 13:5 says, in the B part of that verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's personal. If you're saved, huh? I've heard Brother Darren say it many times. I know I'm not a name it and claim it preacher. Listen, the Word of God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Okay? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So in other words, now this gets me happy. The same Jesus that I read about right there, that had risen from a tomb, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and He's walking with these fellers, and He expounds on the Scriptures everything concerning Himself, that He appears to those 11 and them others, and He says, peace be unto you. The same Jesus that I read about in the Word of God is the same Jesus that's here tonight with us. And guess what? I got better news than that. Hold on. It's the same Jesus that's going to step out on the clouds one day and say, come up hither. Yeah. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Whew. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. He's faithful. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Didn't say He'd keep us from going through all kinds of things down here on earth. But He said He'd establish us. He's faithful. He'd keep us. He'll keep us. You hear me? You saved tonight? Somebody say amen. Amen. Then you're in the palm of His hand. Huh? You can't leap out of the palm of His hand. You inspire me? You can't jump out of the hand of Almighty God if you were saved. Huh? He's not just going to change His mind and go up there and say, oh, Shane, you messed up on me again. I'm going to strike His name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. He ain't going to do that. Glory to God, He saved me. And He saved me one time and for all time. And He did you too. Eternal security. Glory, hallelujah, I believe it. We could never, ever be victorious if we didn't have that peace and assurance that He gives us of eternal security. Here we go. Now, after all that, sum it up right here. And I hope this encouraged somebody. Remember, not just anyone is walking with you. You know, not the president or some politician. Not some military leader. Huh? Not a preacher. Listen, not just anyone is walking with you. The Lord Jesus is walking with you. I like to call Him. And I hope tomorrow, tonight, the Lord brings one of these back to you. Okay? This is who's walking with you, church. Master. Savior. Redeemer, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word of God, the Light of the World, the Healer, Brent the Healer, our Liberator, our Reconciler, the Giver of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, amen, the Bread of Life, the Door, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Alpha, the Omega, the Lamb of God, the Resurrection and the Life, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. So, after all that scrambled little up message and all those 9 points on what happened with that walk to Emmaus and going back, here's what I want you to get. I don't want you going through tonight. But when it seems like there ain't nary another soul around you that can help you, that knows what you're going through, that you can lean on, that you're hurting, I want you to know there is one, and His name's Jesus. And no matter what happens, no matter how deep in the valley or how dry in the desert you get, never forget He's still walking with you. Amen? That's my message. He's still walking with you. I hope something in that scattered message blessed your soul.
Praise God, He's walking with me.
Amen.
Thank you for coming. Listening to me so attentively. Amen.